Hey guys, welcome to Vaudeville. I am here with a special guest. I am here with my sister. I am here with an amazing person. I'm here with...
Hey guys, I'm Bai Aben. Nice to meet you all.
Yay, I'm so excited to talk to Bai today. So sit back, relax and enjoy. So Bai, major question. Who are you?
So, hey guys, like I said before, my name is Bai. I am a Cameroonian American filmmaker, performer, child of God, Christian, lover, all the great things. And yeah, I'm just so happy to be here.
Yay. So let's like break it down one by one, every identity, because it seems like you are very multifaceted about who you are. So we're going to begin with your Cameroonian-American identity, because that's what you started with. You're a Cameroonian-American. What does that mean to you?
So my mother came to this country 8 months pregnant with me. She lied on documentation, which is very easy to do in Africa. And she came here on the plane, and literally when she arrived, like, she went to the hospital, but she was early, so like they gave her some type of medicine or something. And then she came back exactly a month later, and I was born in Massachusetts. My culture is something that's very important to me. Mm. Growing up, I was kind of ashamed of it just because I was made fun of, or I moved around a lot. So the older I got, the more I was in spaces of people who look less like me. Mm. And there was even a time that, like, I was ashamed to tell people, like, my name. Like, for some reason, Bai is so easy, but on paper, it looks very difficult. So people had trouble saying my name. So I would just tell them, my name is Anna. Like, that's, like, my Christian name. You know, Christian name. So that's, like, my Christian name. So I would tell them, hey, my name is Anna. But growing up, let me tell you, my culture is so important to me. I'm that person that when you walk in the room, I will tell you my name is Bai. I will also tell you the meaning of my name, Mother of All Nations, and just the power behind who I am as a person. And a lot of my work, a lot of things that I do, my culture is reflected in that and through that.
Mm, that's very beautiful. Is there like a, because you do hyphenate your identity, you do say you're Cameroonian American, because some people either say, no, I am a full Cameroonian, or, oh, I am American, or like there's this sense of like a balance between what your ethnicity is in that relation. So in that sense, like, how do you, are there situations in which there's a clash between both, and like, how do you find that balance? Because like, obviously, being Cameroonian and being American are like very different in a lot of ways.
That's a very good question. So me, I grew up with both cultures. I can't necessarily say I am Black without mentioning my African side, and I can't say the same vice versa. For example, growing up, I would either listen to Agatha Moses when my mom is playing music in the car, or I listen to Biggie Smalls on the radio. Those are two separate worlds that made me the person who I am. So I can't deny both. I can make African food. I can make fufu, egusi soup. I can also make soul food because I lived in Texas. So who I am as a person is a combination of both of these things. And like I said, growing up, I felt like I had to pick and choose. But me as the Bai here today, it's like, no, these steps, these parts of my life, it's kind of like when you're baking a pie or a piece of pizza, like all ingredients are important and there's nothing that's more better than the other. Like, you need all of them to like create your slice of pizza. So that's who I am, and I'm very proud of all of it.
Yeah, you live this very fusion lifestyle. You're very proud of it, because like sometimes, yeah, definitely, I've been in your car and like you're either playing some, obviously, Beyonce, because like we're all from South,
Texas girls.
You're either playing Beyonce, or like sometimes when I came for your graduation party and like you played the Sweet Mother.
Yeah, exactly. That's me.
And I was like, dang girl, like you definitely find a balance. There's not like this like wide spectrum which you're like either far this way or far that way, or this whole question of, like, obviously, when people see you in the first instant, they're immediately like, oh, you're African-American, and you're immediately like, no, I am Cameroonian-American. You always, like, you know, correct people in that sense. And it's just kind of very fascinating to see, because, like, me personally, I always find it very hard to be like, I am either this or that, or, like, how do I live in this world with multiple identities, which is somewhat of, like, a theme that I'm exploring in a sense. But, like, moving on a bit, we'll still come back to that. You mentioned that you're a child of God, you're a Christian. Can you talk more about that?
I love talking about Jesus. You know me.
Yeah.
So, yes, and honestly, being a Christian, being a woman of God is the first identity that I ascribe to. Mm. Before being woman, before being Black, before being a creative, being a Christian is who I identify the most with. It's like that is 100%, and then everything else underneath is what makes the other sides of me. So I grew up in a sense where I was brought up Christian, I guess, trying to figure it out, but I didn't necessarily become deep in my faith until I got to like high school and undergrad. And I realized that as a person, I want everything that I do to be based off of who God says I am. So about the love of God, I want to show him in everything I do. If it's how I talk to people, how I smile, and the work that I create, I want to make sure that the main focus is God's love. As a Christian, I realized too that, you know, everybody wants to find their purpose. Everybody wants to, like, know, like, why are they here on this earth? Like, what is my duty of being here? And I realized that my goal is truly to be a reflection of God and his character. And that is who I, you know, ascribe to be every day.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. That is really, very inspiring, like, also on my end, because I'm also Christian. And it's nice to see people have that sense of, like, having that identity as their priority. Because in a lot of ways, obviously, in the world we live in, it's kind of, like, very hard to, like, ascribe to that openly. You know, it's like...
Yeah, for sure. But you know what's crazy? So I remember... So in Texas, there's a lot of Christians there, especially where I'm from. Like, being Christian wasn't, like, a... it was mostly like a norm. Like, you would see a lot of churches, you would see a lot of people talk about God, you would see that. When I moved to this Chicago, it's not like that. Chicago is just like very diverse. You see a lot of different people. And then especially coming to Northwestern, I felt like, I remember when I started school, I felt like, and not that people were making me feel this way, it was just like my inner thoughts. I felt like I had to like hide that. And I had to hide being Christian. I had to hide, you know, who I was as a person, because, like, I feel like a lot of, like, identities or, you know, a lot of people's, a lot of people's identities, I guess, clash with, like, Christianity, and it, like, makes them uncomfortable. And I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable because of who I am. But I've gotten to the point that it's so ingrained in me that, like, I couldn't hide it. And the funny thing is, people actually respected that. You know, like, there might be some people who don't believe in God, but they're just like, can you pray for me? You know what I'm saying? Or there might be some people who don't believe in God, but, like, can see my work and then feel touched by it. And they're just like, oh, like, there's something. Or maybe not even my work. Maybe it's just how I am as a person, like, and have a conversation with me, and I can really uplift them, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, like, the older I got, the more I've just been able to just fully be myself. And being myself, not ashamed in anything that I identify with.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that in a way. But mine was somewhat opposite, because, like, I did live in Texas, and Texas definitely is a very, like, you definitely find a church in every corner for sure. But
yeah.
In undergrad, I studied English, and a lot of my spaces were not Christian as much. When it came to like talking to my faith, I always felt not defensive, but always like, you know, like maybe someone says, you know, why like people believe in this God thing, and I'm just like, you know, it's hard to explain, but I feel like because God has done so much for me, I feel this like need to always, like, quote unquote, serve him in a sense, because he has done so much in my life, and it's hard to explain that to you. And I always feel like, oh, I don't need to talk about it right now. and all those kind of things, because, like, I guess mostly because, like, in the church I went to, it was mostly older people that were, like, vivacious about God and all those kind of things, and people my age were not, like, that. I mean, they came with their family, and that was the end of it. They come, they mm-hmm. go back home. That's the whole conversation. I went to church every Sunday. I went to daily mass when my mom took me there and all those kind of things, but, like, there wasn't this, like, I was happy, and, like, me and God, we always had this communication, but, like, it wasn't in the sense of, like, oh, I am going to go about telling people, hey, I am Christian, all those kind of things, or my behavior was more or less like that, no. It felt like I was always having this contrast between, like, what I believed in, like, a sense of, like, how society should be and, like, my religion in a lot of ways.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until I actually came here that I actually felt this balance between both, because I was, like, most people I surround myself with are people around my age who also love God, and I'm so excited. And that made me, I was like, wait a minute, girl. I'm so excited. I was like, this is giving me a lot of vim to also be, like, excited about it, you know. I also want to ask you, in a sense, does that, because you said, like, the spaces you're in, definitely, like, yes, it showed. But your own work, you know, as an artist, because, like, being an artist, being a creative, and being religious, sometimes, definitely, it always comes to head. Because, like, you definitely see people make things that you either don't agree with in a lot of ways, like, because of your religion. Or you, like, have to come face-to-face in the sense of, like, the society you didn't know you were, like, raised in because of other people's work. So how do you, like, balance that? How do you meet that, you know, as a Christian creative? That's the best way to say it.
So I wanted to touch on your point of community first,
mm-hmm.
And then I'll answer your question.
Sure.
Going back to community, community is so important when it comes to your faith, mm-hmm. because that is what happened to me in undergrad. What happened to you here is what happened to me when I was at UT. And I remember in high school, I was kind of the only person on that route. But when I went to UT, there was a ministry called Haven. Mm-hmm. See the shirt of the hat I'm wearing. That was like my home. And that is where I grew. And I saw people like me who are on fire for God. And those are the people who are still here in my present day that I hold so close to me, because they're the ones that keep me accountable. Now, accountability is where the answer to the next question that you just asked me comes in. So I feel like art is a beautiful thing, because art is a space of knowledge where you get to express anything that you want.
Mm.
There needs to be respect when it comes to art. Yes, it's kind of like politics. Like, yes, there may be, like, a disagreement there, but, like, at the end of the day, you're still a human being, correct? So there's no reason where, like, there should be, how do I say this? Like, I just believe respect is just so important, especially when it comes to art, and because when there's art, there's freedom, right? You're not given a canvas or, like, given premiere, and then you're like, no, you can't do certain things. No, like, you have the ability to create anything that you want. So now, being in a space where it should be a space of freedom, I have to always keep that in mind when I'm watching certain things or around certain people. Because at the end of the day, even if something that they believe clashes with what I believe, there's still a respect there, you know? And same thing vice versa. Like I said, in my program, in the beginning, I felt so uncomfortable. But, like, most of the people in my program are actually, like, don't believe in God, but they love me a lot. You know what I'm saying? And, like, just because there's, like, a respect there, you know? Now, kind of going off tangent a little bit, being a Christian creative, does that mean you have to come up to everybody and say, give your life to Christ?
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're just like, if you don't repent, you're going, like, no. Like I started this podcast saying, I believe everything that I do is purpose driven, right? And I believe my work should be a reflection of Christ in something. So that reflection of Christ could be, like, his character. It can also be, like, the truth. It can be about societal problems that are happening. Like, it's just based on the foundation of him and his characteristics. Yeah. Now, going back to just me being as an artist in general, a lot of the themes that I, you know, want to do or have done in the past have either been about home, you know, what home means to me, my definition of home belonging. It's been about immigration, just because I am a child of immigrants, and like genocide and migration, all those things like really touch home to me as a person. And also it's been about some type of truth, a truth that I feel like either is hidden or it needs to be talked about. You know, I think, like I said, when it comes to, have you ever listened to a song? Okay, now going back. This is the last thing I'll say before you can ask me another question. I just want to make sure that I make my point very clear. Have you ever listened to a song in another language, but you were touched by that song?
No.
That's exactly how I want my art to be. Universal. That even if you are not Christian, you're still touched by what you're seeing. And that is the whole thing. Yeah. That's literally what I want.
Yeah, I do agree with you in a lot of ways, because like I felt like the same, because like, obviously Christian creative too, that I had to make films about God, like out here making The Chosen part
season five.
I'm out here making The Chosen, and I was like,
and there are people who it's okay for them, yeah, to do that work, but then everybody's called to that.
Yeah, exactly. And in my mind, I was like, I'm not really drawn to, like, that isn't my, or that's why I don't feel like God is calling me to do. And a lot of sense, people do watch my films and like, wow, you know, there's a sense of intimacy, there's a message, there's something. And I like, my themes are very similar to yours about home and about immigration and migration and all those kind of things. Where like, people watching and like, dang, like I feel there's a feeling. It's never like, oh, it's, I watched it and it's just like, oh, and now I go back home and nothing happened. But like, there's always a feeling. There's a sense of comfort. There's a sense of intimacy. There's something that draws you closer to every person. And I feel like that's a gift given to me by God.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. And it doesn't have to show itself in the sense of like, ah, yes, I am making this film about this girl who got hit by a car and then came
an
back.
An angel came to her. And was then, like, yeah.
Your time has not finished. And then she came back. And I'm like, that's not what I'm supposed to be making, you know?
Yeah.
That isn't like my calling, you know, at that point. Because, like, I had this weird argument with one of my friends, and I was like, I'm a filmmaker, and I'm Christian, but, like, I won't exactly see if I call myself a Christian filmmaker, because, like, the idea of the tag of Christian filmmaker immediately goes into, like, the person who makes The Chosen, or those people who make films for, like, Christian festivals, or, you know, those kind of things. And I was like, I don't feel that. I'm just here to show the love of God through people's life, and I don't, like, it doesn't have to be in a sense that even the people have to be Christian too.
Exactly.
It's people's stories, and like, to me, it's showing this sense of like this pathway which God has put them through. And that pathway could relate to anybody, or not relate to anybody. It can just be a mirror of something that people do not understand. Okay. My question is that everyone apparently, quote unquote, goes through different identity crises in life. Did you go through that, and how did that show in your life, and how did you get out of that quote-unquote identity crisis? Like, was there a moment ever in your life you're like, I am not sure who I am at this very moment, and I'm trying to figure things out, and how did you get out of that, and how did that come to be? How did that manifest in itself, and then how did you get out of it? If you did get out of it, it's fine, or if you didn't, anyway.
The reason I'm thinking is because I can't remember a time that I went through an identity crisis phase, because when I was younger, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think while I speak. When I was younger and I lived in Massachusetts, I was African. When I moved around a lot, I was still African. Then when I got to high school, I was Christian, but still African. And then I began knowing my talents and stuff. Well, I feel like I knew my talents growing up, but like really knowing like, oh, I want to be in the career of like art throughout high school and undergrad. So I think it just added. I think it was never a time and period where I questioned. Maybe when I was younger, where I was afraid to be African, but it wasn't like questioning. It was more like ashamed, you know, because my community made me ashamed. But like I said, right now I'm so bold and I'm so happy to be where I'm from. So I don't think I've ever questioned my identity other than the time I started school here and I was like, is there space for my identity? Is there space for me as a person? But I created that space. And maybe that's the answer to the question that every time that there was a place where I felt uncomfortable because of who I was, I created that space for me. So all of my 5,000 identities can fit under that box.
That's actually quite powerful, just creating spaces in places. But there is one identity you haven't mentioned.
Film?
No. Your identity is like a pageant queen.
Oh my gosh! I wish you guys could see me turning this chair. This girl is so funny. Okay, so let me talk about pageantry. So I love it. So when I was younger, that's why I'm gonna tell you. When you have like some type of seasoning in your blood, you know what I'm saying? For us as Maggie, wherever your seasoning is from, you truly view the world in that context. When I was growing up, I always loved Miss America. And my mom actually had a friend who worked, because you know, a lot of mothers, like, well, a lot of, not mother, sorry, a lot of like immigrants who come here, like it's easy for us Africans to get into nursing. So she had a friend who was like did like either lifting or like what is it called, like CNA, something like that. And her daughter did pageants and did dance. Like I don't know how to dance, but like my mom was like, oh, Bayou's like pretty bold, like she can do pageants. And that's where my love started. And I remember doing pageants when I was younger. Sometimes I wouldn't win, sometimes I would win, but I always liked that, like, you know, that time to shine on stage. Like my extra behind. Like I always loved that. And I was in theater and stuff like that. So being on stage wasn't anything new to me. So like the older I got, the more of a passion that grew inside of me. And like I said, when I saw Miss America when I was younger, it was just somebody that I aspired to be. Now, fast forward, like in undergrad, I still entertain pageants and stuff like that. Now, coming into Chicago, it's just so crazy because, like, long story short, not to freak anybody out or anything, but I basically had a dream that I like started pageants again, and like I did Miss America, and that really got me excited before moving here. So I was like, you know, God, if it's a sign, like let me know. Literally, one of my friends who lived in Chicago at the time, she won Miss Chicago. So then I was like, that's so crazy. I'm gonna hit her up. And she was like, yeah, girl, whenever you move here, like let me know. A couple months later, right before I'm about to move here, my mom randomly comes up to me and she's like, I had a dream that you won Miss America. Mind you, I've never even told her that that's like something I wanted to do. I've never even told her anything other than, you know, she knows I did pageants when I was younger. So when she told me that, I was like, it's a sign. Like, whenever I have the opportunity to do it, like, I'll do it. So when I graduated Northwestern, that was one of the first things that I started doing. And now, me being older, you know, being a part of the system and organization is not about like the glitz and glam, like how I thought about when I was younger. I just want to be so powerful to the point that I can use my films as a resource to educate people about topics that I'm passionate about, and also use that platform just to create awareness. Like, awareness is my issue, and I realize that everybody's path is different. Like, some people are gonna go through, you know, the film festival route and go to Sundance, and that's their thing. Some people might have to be PA somewhere, know person to know somebody to do their thing. But my thing is, I feel like that's the route that God has told me to do. And not that I'm solely gonna depend on pageants to spread my awareness, because honestly, too, like when it comes to passions and things that you want to create change about, it really does take community, you know? And being plugged in into different organizations and nonprofits too are also very important to me. But I just know that I really want to use that platform to create change, one, and two, like, I remember when I, the time that I was thinking about doing it in Texas, Miss Texas at the time, she was this black girl with the gap, big hair. I was like, bro, she looks like me. She was light-skinned. But I was like, she reminds me a lot of me. So I also want to be that example, like, just growing up, being, you know, that figure, and then having, like, different immigrant children looking at me and being like, bro, her name sounds like mine. Like, she looks like me. Like, she's thick. Like, she got a gap. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just so proud and dope, because I feel like so many people have to hide that part of them, and representation is just so important. Hopefully I answered that question.
You did. You did like an absolute queen.
You are. LOL, you're so funny.
Yeah, I like to bring that on because, like, that's also, like, obviously definitely part of you, and that's your the pathway you're going to take. And it'd be nice to, like,
you're trying.
You're doing great.
I'm trying my best. It's so hard.
You've got God was
nothing
to worry
Christian
about.
Friends, I love it.
To conclude, because we're towards the end of the podcast episode, which I'm hoping you actually enjoyed.
Yeah, this was so fun. Invite me again.
For sure.
Yeah, I'll be back.
For sure. To kind of conclude, I just want to say, like, in a sense of, like, if you, more or less, this is towards the audience, because there are several audiences and from different countries.
Okay, different countries.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all follow me on Instagram.
So we just want to, like, someone who's out there also, like, having a very similar identity to yours, like, what is an advice you give them? What is something you want to tell them, in a sense? This is the question.
So when I was trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to step in the entertainment world, because honestly, like, Naomi, are you interested in acting?
I mean, I act here and there, but I don't know about that. Why?
Would you do it?
Sure.
If the opportunity was given to you. Okay. The reason I ask is because I just think we're so similar. Sure. I think you're more organized. And I think you would also be a great producer. I don't have the skill of organization like that. So, blah, 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 blah. But anyways, the reason I say that is because when I was in undergrad, you know, I applied to Northwestern, or maybe this was even before I applied, and I was trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to get in the space of, like, entertainment and, like, acting and performance and, like, documentary and film? Like, how am I going to start? Where am I going to go? I remember reaching out to this one lady who I knew, like, worked for Oprah. And, you know, Texas, everybody's somehow connected. And basically, I got her contact information because my friend did her hair. Like, she braided her hair. So she was like, yeah, reach out to her, see what she says. And basically, she gave me some advice that really stuck with me. She was like, nobody's path is the same. You know, this stuff is not linear. So don't try to follow. You know how some people are like, look up the person you want to be like and go to the Wikipedia page? No. It's only God that can direct and path you and guide your steps. And the reason I mentioned me and Naomi before is because our pathways are going to look completely different. But we know that we're going to be successful. You know what I'm saying? I think that when you are trying to do something that's bigger than you, the only person that knows the end destination is God. So he is truly the only person that you can count on. And I know that sounds so cliche, but sometimes you get a bigger picture and you get the dream, not because you yourself knows how to get there. You get the bigger picture in the dream because God wants to show you how much you're going to rely on him to get to that destination. And I feel like that's just what I've been learning throughout my walk. Like, even coming here, it's only by the grace of God, because honestly, I didn't even have the criteria to get, like, I didn't meet the qualifications. Like, I was the only person in my program that didn't do anything film related, you know, but we still got to the same school and graduated from here. So don't let fear stop you, but also don't compare yourself to other people. And I think that is how you're going to exceed in life.
That's beautifully said. Thank you so much for joining Vaultville. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You please follow us on Spotify and click the update button so you can get like notifications when we upload each episode. Also, like, I just want to give a round of applause to Bai.
Oh, she's so sweet. Let's give one to Naomi.
And I'm just so excited to have you here, and like, we just grateful to have you as a guest. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode, and stay tuned for more episodes.